This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here, because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
Well, I don't give a shit. I don't care.
Forget that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic
of podcasting.
I mean,
you don't have to Google it. I'm just saying, you just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm gonna shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. I know, I feel like we played car soccer like part of the week, and I bought $30 worth of a space game that's way too fucking difficult, but I'll figure it out. Dude, those controls are no joke. I'm like, oh God, can I just be like Star Trek and just point here and say go, and like it's even like not even that easy. And thank God Logic was on there for a while, because like he was helping me out so hard. He was like, yeah, no, dude, hey, go to your this, and then go to that, and then you gotta keep aiming at it. I'm like, but I already plotted it in. Why should I have to aim for it? What kind of computer is this?
It's like, you don't have the nice shit. You got like,
except
the Ford Escort. Of spaceships.
Except it has all the shit that like later on you have to buy if you change ships. Like it had all the default ship has all that like built in stuff. So once you
but it's not okay. It has built in shit, dude. But that's like a default class in fucking Call of Duty. And if you think one of those classes is fucking good in any way, shape, or form, then you just don't get a concept of video games.
True. Because
those are just like, here's a mod podge of shit we stuck together. We hope you like it for a little while until you hit level 4.
Right.
Like, that ship's going to get you by, but like later, man, because I was watching, like, I got the game, I play it, but like the fact that I have to hit like LB, left D-pad, and X to like do shit, like, I'm like, I can't play this like with you guys yet.
Right.
Like, because I still am like, what, fuck this, what, you know, yep. Like, and,
No, I have to give, if you talk to Logic before I do, you got to tell him that I really, really, really appreciate what he did, because he was literally holding my toddler hand, and I was like, Daddy, I can make a step, watch me go, here, step.
Nice.
And then I'm like, no, sure, I could fight somebody. I could do it. And then, like, got blown up. I was like, all right, I'll go back to just running data. Never mind. I'll go back to being a courier. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I ventured into fighting a bot.
Yeah, no, as long as it took me to fly through the little, like, training course and, like...
Oh, God.
Like, the slowing down and speeding up and shit, no problem. Like, yaw, all that, no problem. But the fact that the fucking shit is goddamn inverted, man, it, like, fucks me over every goddamn time. And the worst part is, like, if that was a stick, like, between my fucking
legs, would make sense.
No problem.
Right.
I'd be like, oh, yeah, huh? But the fact that all of a sudden it becomes a left and right analog stick, my brain goes, I don't understand.
So I'll make you feel even better, because you know that I, for one, love inverting my Y stick. The problem is that the stick that I invert on first-person shooters is, this is the left stick. Because this is the one that does your look around, right? Your right stick.
Right,
I mean,
that's your right.
Yeah, sorry,
analog,
right.
Yeah.
I'm doing right thumb, but I'm not actually saying the word right. So it's right.
Yeah, I was like, you're moving your right hand and saying right. Left while looking at me. I know what you're trying to do, but you've now confused yourself.
But with this flying one, it's the left stick. So it may be the right direction, but my brain still has a problem making my left thumb do it. My right, what I need to do is figure out if I can switch the controls to make yaw on this thumb and up, down, left, right on this one. Cause then I would be like the king of the crop, dude, because I'd be all about it. I need to just switch the sticks.
Yeah, I looked at the inputs because I was like, all right, I wouldn't mind making, like, obviously inverting the control, but then making like yaw, like LB and RB or something, and moving like whatever those would be to like the D-pad or whatever. But there are so many combinations and commands, it's almost like there isn't really room for you to rearrange unless you just want to say A is now Z and Z is now A. Like, you can flip flop
those. I'm hoping mine is easier to do than yours is. Because mine is like, just switch which stick does which. That should be easy. But yeah, the fact that it's just sticks or switch messes me up. Because if honestly, I'll get down there next time and see if I can do it. Because then I'll be golden. Because I do sadly think I kind of have the hold X to hit left stick or left D-pad so you can look over there and go to that screen. You could also, like, if you want to get real crazy, you can click the right stick and look over there and it pops up automatically. But I'm like, I don't have time for that shit. Like, it's got to be like X left on the D-pad, you know, so it's crazy. But it's cool. The game's fucking beautiful. Like, I'm like, okay, even if I don't know how to play this game, it's worth $30 because it's pretty. But, you know, I got to figure this shit out. And then I don't, you know, I only played that one time. So I don't, like, I went to, I turned the game on 3 fucking times this weekend. And as I sat down, my wife's like, you need to go do this chore. I'm like, fuck. It's like, I thought I got done with the last one. Like, yeah, that's it. That got done. Now get up and do the next one. And I was like, shit. So I don't even know if I'm supposed to go into, like, open play. Because then I did, like, open up one. And then there wasn't any, wherever my ship is currently at, there was nothing available. Like, I was like, well, I got to go fucking fly back to somewhere else. I was like, this is some bullshit. Not even going to let me run something back for you, bud. So, I don't know. It's cool, but it's one of those games kind of like Sea of Thieves. You got to have, like, a couple hours to just do something, to do, you know, some stuff for a while. And then I don't know what to do when there's other folks in there. So, if we're all different ships, are we, like, flying together? Or are we just, like, talking on the same server while we're all jumping around? Like, that's... It's not like anything you're doing together. You know what I mean?
Well, it depends if, like, you're flying with their wing or whatever. And then you can, like, you run missions together. And then I think if you have, like...
The expansion, you can be on the same ship.
You can actually ride on the same ship together and do, like, the actual planet missions.
Yeah, that's what Echo was saying.
And whatnot.
Yeah. That's what Echo was saying.
But, yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, you're just like, hey, I got basically terrorist hunts to go do. And Logic's like, all right, well, I'm going to go scoop free fuel and mine. And planet scan, because that's kind of what he likes doing. And you're like, oh wow, we're fucking 80,000 light years away from each other. And like, how many hops? 22? Yeah,
apparently, when I finally get out of training wheels, I have to fly somewhere where I get, like, a really nice ship that's always free. And Logic was mentioning that, or somebody was like, supposedly there's some class of ship, if you go to the right port, it's free, even though it's like a really good ship. Like, so apparently it's something in the game that everybody knows about. So whatever. I was like, all right, you just tell me I'm supposed to fly there and get me there and I'll get the ship.
Yeah, it's kind of like just getting a ship that, like, you know, when you go and, like, make your first purchase in a game, like, it's that level of ship where you're like, ooh,
right.
But it's for free. So you don't have to go blow the million or whatever. And you're like, and then after, like, 2 missions of it, you're like, you know, this really isn't a whole, like, I spent a million, so this doesn't feel like $1 million improvement from what I was doing, right. You know?
Yeah, well, you need the free ship so you can buy all the attachments you don't get when you buy a brand new ship that came with the hoopty they gave you out of the gate.
Yeah, so you can pick up the ship and then, like, get the fucking audio package on it, you know, and the real leather and stuff.
Yeah, right. I just want to set a destination and I want to go there. I don't understand what I'm, and here's my problem. Because they don't call it warp, and it messes me up, that there's actually, like, 2 levels of it. So you have that initial burst where you're seeing all the like, nebulas passing by you, and then you hit it where you have, like, the lines that line the screen that you're still in warp, but it's everything's kind of chilled out. But you still have to, like, slow down at some point, and half the time I have to hit double Y just to fucking hit the e-brake on the ship. Because they're like, you drove by. And I'm like, well, what do you, just tell me to stop. I hit Y. Why didn't it fucking slow down? Is this Y button for why didn't it slow down? Because that's what happened.
Well, the Y button doesn't slow
down. It does. It
down.
Says hit Y to decelerate or some shit. I don't know.
No, it's like hit Y, like when you pop out, but then you still have to hit the left bumper to, like, go off the fucking throttle because your throttle's still whatever it was from beforehand.
I was like, my throttle still says C, which means I'm above light speed, so I don't even know.
Yeah, you gotta, like, when you come out, you gotta actually, like, then grab the little gauge and go.
Mm-hmm. Call it light speed, call it sub-light speed. You could have done something. I don't know if it's trademarked by Star Trek or what, but goddammit, it messes me up. We were on, I don't know if you were still on, But like we were, it was like Echo and Logic and me, and they were like, they kept saying whatever it's termed, like FTB or F, whatever the term is for their light speed. And I'm like, that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. <They're> not... It's like, I don't know why. Like, just pick light speed. I don't care if you call it ludicrous speed. Just fucking FTB, whatever the fuck they call it. I was like, that doesn't even make any sense. It's my old man coming out now, and I was just like, this is bullshit. Harumph.
That's fucking hilarious. Get off
my lawn. Yeah, so you got a chance to watch the episode, right?
No, I just hopped in the podcast and was like, I'm gonna fucking wing
the first time.
Which I will admit, in the first part of this, there were times when that just was the situation.
Like, he explains it so well that I will absolutely pick up on the plot as...
Yeah, I was like, yeah, especially when you were going, like, just scene for scene, word for word, and you had, like, the whole fucking transcript pulled up, especially when it was, like, a show that I was like, I'm already done. Like, we got three more of these, but I left at episode 3. Like, I'll watch them or skip through them, do whatever. And you would fucking explain it, and I'd be like, yeah. And then I'd give some, like... The teacher kind of caught me half napping in class and was like, can you tell me the theory? Yeah. So like Tom's a dick, right? And
watch me generalize all of this completely.
Uh-huh.
And then let the other guy.
Have you ever heard of the term on the fence? Because that's where I'm staying, man. Right in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, this episode was a little bit of a slow burn. Huh?
So
it was a bit boring, and it was one of those ones where it's like, okay, you set a bunch of stuff up, and then the payoff is going to come down the road.
Yeah, it was weird because the episode was like almost fast paced too, but it was just like the stuff we were getting was one of those episodes where it's like the day in the life of you just kind of have like an eagle eye view of everybody and kind of just what they're doing, like how they're feeling, where they're at. And then like every so often the eagle's like, oh, is that a mouse? And you're like, hey, here's a little bit more info. Then it's like, woo, tap dancing, you know?
Yeah. Like, and it was almost like I wanted to see each scene, but I needed to see the next 5 minutes also that it didn't show us. They got us set up for it. And then they were like, and nope, that's it for this week. Sorry, you don't get to see any more of that. So I was like, you're bringing us right to it, and then you have a lot of these revelations, and then we don't get the payoff this week, which, you know, that's fine, but it seemed like every single of the storylines was like, we're going to take you right to it, nope, we're going to bring these two together, and this, nope, and then it was like, okay, you get it next week, like, oh, damn it. So, but it was, you know, it still had some decent stuff. The opening scene, you got to see Magda picking out the
who she wanted to be
her fake dead husband. Yeah. Boy, that's I did like how they did a bunch of script, like they did a bunch of heads that passed by her and you didn't know when she was going to change into her outfit, like her blonde outfit, because it kept, you know, they usually use somebody's head or somebody's body passing by the screen to do the swap out of her clothes, and they kept like bringing a head by, whoop, she's still in her leather, whoop, bringing a head by, and then it was like, and she's in her blonde stuff, and then she sits down and snags the right one, and then she's like, you don't want to dance with me, she's like, you want to take me home, and you want to hurt me, and I was like, holy shit. She's like, that's forward, that's great. And he's like, yes, I do. He didn't see anything wrong with that whatsoever.
Yeah, man, like, I don't know, dude, like the spell she puts people under, I don't know why it's taken her so long to do what the fuck she's like trying to do. It's almost like she made her plan and then went, okay, here's my Rube Goldberg machine of what I want to accomplish. Because like every time you've seen her do some kind of influential thing, it is almost like drastic and immediate. And it's like, why? Just if you really want this to happen, then just like go to the president. Like what, you know what I'm saying? Like whatever the end game is, you know, like I need to know. I'm now at the point with her where like I want to know what got this spark.
Yeah, what's your goal for this?
Why did she all of a sudden go Nazis, California?
I'm going to fuck with Cali for this year.
Yeah, yeah, yep. I'm wondering where that all...
Yeah, because, you know...
That all kind of, like, She'll have her evil monologue or like her rage spiel of like, this is why I'm fucking doing this shit.
Yeah, it'll be let down if she's just like a Loki, if she's just a mischief type deity or whatever she is. Demon.
I mean, I don't need her to have like
a manifesto.
Yeah, like I mean, and it doesn't need to be like she was really scorned. Like she could just be like, look, dude, I'm a demon in this culture. This is what I do every day. You're just happen to get in like the inside view of it, which is cool. But when you like show me her influence and like insane power that happens, and then you have just like these weird, like her with the councilman, where he like decides to wear the blue tie anyways, and like it's like, okay, I get you're staying in character, but you don't have to, you know, like, so I want to know why, like, now I'm at that point with like, why are you just kind of fucking putzing right around with all this shit?
And part of me is like, because of the era we're in, I feel like that all of this is going to lead to like some historical event. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what that is. We know it's before the U.S. enters World War II. Maybe it is. Maybe all of this somehow boils down to you know, helping start Pearl Harbor. I don't even know. I just feel like all of this is so chaotically ordered, which makes no sense, but it does to me, that the end focal point has to be something that we all go, oh, wow, that's a cool, you know, that's cool. Like, that's why that started in this, and, you know, that's a cool way of looking at it. Like, that, I feel like that's going to, that kind of needs to be part of this, you know, season. Like, if each of these seasons, like, brings us to, like, oh, here's this major point of history, and these two, you know, deities and angels or whatever you want to call them, this is, you know, their little back and forth type stuff is what caused all this. I don't know. It could go that way. I don't know. I always like when you take something from actual history, but then like tell a fantastical tale of how it came to be. You know what I'm saying? Those are kind of fun. And honestly, I say that like it's my favorite thing, but I'm not sure if I could tell you something off the top of my head that has done that. But I know there's plenty in Hollywood that have. But I don't know. But there is. Shut up. Oh man, like when they drop somebody who's not supposed to be around that time frame in it, like there's a Stephen King novel.
Yeah, I mean there's three major movies that do that.
Give me them off the top of your head.
Back to the Future 1, 2 and 3. It literally changes like every major thing that happens when he does anything different.
Yeah, true. To a certain extent. But I mean taking actual
to a certain extent, well, to a whole, he yeah, broke a whole
not,
new fucking
but that's
timeline.
That's what I'm talking about, because that stuff's all their fictional stuff anyways. But you're right, it is.
Yeah, but even then, it's like when he comes back and brings stuff, it's like, oh, that sparks the idea for that thing right then and there.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean like 11, what's the name of the book? I can't think off the top of my head, but it's a date. And it's a Stephen King book, and this guy has this like portal that he can go back in time, but he goes back to the same time, and it's...
They had it on Hulu. I know what you're talking about.
James Franco's in it.
That exact same thing is exactly what happens in Back to the Future too. He goes back in time, he does something,
and it changes stuff.
And then when he walks back through, it changes back in his timeline.
Yes. But Marty McFly's timeline.
You're like,
but
I can't think of any of them, and I was just dying over here.
But what I'm saying is like actual, factual, historical events that have occurred.
Yeah, I get it. Like when you hear the sirens at the end of whatever this show is, you're like, oh shit, that is the Pearl Harbor alarms or whatever. Like I get it. And I'm hoping that they don't fucking do that remotely.
I love
when
we're so off.
I don't want...
You just want it to be a fucked up story that culminates in like whatever madness is.
Well, no, I just want it to be a story about like whatever this is. I don't want it to be a story that they go, hey, that's why this happened. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, so some pachucos and a couple fucking dirty cops and Nazis led to this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need a butterfly effect, right? Like, because unless somehow they loop it like right into the main vein of the Third Reich, right? Like, this is still, I speak for Adolf, and then we're in Cali, right? Like, if you're going to do that, then this needs to lead to some, what if this happened? Mm-hmm. And go that way, not to, like, our timeline.
That would be cool, too. Go, like, to it could have been worse type thing.
Like, yeah, like, I don't need it to be a good ending. Like, the good guy wins. Like, this could be that homeboy up there with his whole white desert colony of shit wins. And it's like, Hitler marches on America, and that's just where Penny Dreadful ends, right?
Right.
Okay. That's shit. That's fucked up. But damn, man, like, I did not see that true. Coming. Now, if it would have been one of those like major significant things, and then all this little shit happens over here, and then all of a sudden you see the bird fly through the sky, and then he lands on the shoulder over here, and like he opens a letter, and it's way back from America 2 weeks ago, all the bullshit we've been watching, and it's like, we got the highway built, Adolf. And then it's like, haha, the Third Reich reigns again, and then like fucking World War II starts or whatever, you know. I'd be like, oh, fuck you, show, fuck you so much, fuck you, part, TV, even more.
Part of me hopes that the focus on the road is the same road focus from Good Omens, where he did all this stuff to make it become like, what did he say? It wasn't a pentagram, but it was some symbol of something that he could then enact like an entire ring of fire around the city.
Yeah, I was wondering when they panned out like on the road. I was like, man, there better not be a swastika in there, like,
right?
Because you already have like the counter councilwoman who's like, hey, know you're working with Nazis. Like, I feel like a swastika on the map, even if it was crooked slightly in certain areas, would be highly right. noticeable.
Yeah, you're right. The pan out had me worried for a minute. I'm like, is it going to be the shape of a devil's horns? Is it going to be a swastika? Is it going to be a pin? You know, what is she having them? What is she having them design with it? What is the point? Because there's something, the road is important to her, either if it's just to disrupt the Chicanos or if it's for some larger plan. I guess I need to figure out if we've already seen the larger plan, which is to set these folks versus these folks versus these folks and have them all clash and just into a bloody giant battle at the end, just so Santa Muerte gets more souls to give and Magna gets to, you know, enjoying whatever she did, or if there's a bigger, what her bigger picture is. I'm with you. We need to see if we've seen her bigger picture, if it's still yet to come.
Yeah, I think what we're going to get, we've seen, right? Like, we know this is going to be basically a race war, mm-hmm. and a culture war, like pretty much the Nazi views versus literally everything else, like it's going to get broken down into the stovepipes. You're going to have like the cops and the pachucos, and then you're going to have the whites and the Hispanics, and then you're going to have the church and the other religion. Like, you're going to just, everything is going to have its like other side of the coin perfectly like lined up with it, and it's just going to be one of these culminations of, see, when you're not nice to everybody, what happens? Like, right. Stop being dicks. I think that is really the underlying theme of this, but I'm hoping that because of it being so supernatural, that they really kind of almost get farcical mm-hmm. with it. Like, it's still serious and you're hitting all the notes you want to hit, but we're not just like in today's world with
grounding magic. Us in our own reality. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to, yeah, do like just like stretch it out, man. Like, if we're going to do this, if we're going to have smoking hot black latex lady walk around and no one fucking see her
until she changes then, into her cute little blonde outfit,
yeah, then like, you can do some shit here, all right? Give right, it to me.
Right. Let's talk about Mateo. At the beginning, at least, like, everybody gets to have sex at the beginning of this episode, that's for damn sure.
I really honestly like thought I hit the ending of like the last episode or whatever, like, somehow, because I was like, damn, dude, like, and the worst part is my kid is next to me on her computer making a YouTube video. So, like, I got City of Angels, like, up in a little window, like, pushed so that if she turns her head, it's not the first thing she sees. Because I know there's graphic shit, but for the most part, there's not a lot, you know, right? But when it does happen, it happens. And I'm like, okay, I move it. banging. And she's like, hey, Dad. And I'm like, minimize. Yeah, boo, what's up? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I might not get through this fucking episode, man. Like, hey, you may have to go to your room and hang out and draw a picture or something for a little bit.
Daddy's got to spend some time for an hour. Oh, yeah. I mean, Mateo's not doing real well. We are minutes after he's killed Riley, and she's getting him out of his clothes, and what if my family finds out, you know, so on. And she goes, you know, we're your family. All the Pachuco's lives you saved, the Chicano's lives you saved because that guy's dead, they're your family. And then she proceeds to measure him for his, I'm guessing, his new awesome pants and everything else. But boy, she is, I've never been measured like that for any clothes ever in my life.
Yeah, no seamstress has ever asked me to strip naked and like give me a fucking speech of where our people came from because of our manhood as a camera pans right behind my shit. And you're like, oh, she's eyeballing his dick giving this fucking speech.
And,
gotcha.
And that's
okay.
The part where she like started to speak in scripture. And I'm like, this is a tiny bit uncomfortable for me. Cause she's like,
yeah, see, that was almost like where I was like, dude, is she like muttering stuff? Because then when it pans to Mateo, like he is completely 180'd from where he was like 2 seconds ago. And I get it. That was a good halftime
speech.
She's
definitely.
But that homeboy, like, I don't even know how to describe this. Anybody that's ever killed anything and tried to take flesh off and didn't know what they were doing the first time, that's what Mateo did to this man's neck. Or if you were like, oh, hey, I need a serrated knife and you're all trying to fillet it with something smooth and it's just not really doing it well. That's what he did to that man's neck. And the fact that he just like 180'd out of that and was like, all right, you gonna measure me up for this suit? Cool. Oh, you wanna bang me? Cool. We're good. Like, we've all had a headache and are like, hey, man, it's just not working. Like, I don't know what's up. Like, yo, my fault. I'm just saying, I'm not sure how quickly I'm gonna come around after beheading someone.
Practically, yeah.
To just like banging right. I mean, we're within the same time frame. We're not, I slept on it and woke up the next day. This is, hey, it happened and we just went back to the hideout. That's where we're at.
Right. Right. He hasn't had a chance to like sleep on it. He's literally, yeah. Well, but you know what? She gives a halftime speech like Pacino on any given Sunday. So, I mean, you really can't fault her.
Yeah, I mean, her halftime speech was so great that like, fucking Fly Rico walks in and he was like, oh shit, I'm gonna die, to, oh, you want some of this too, Rico? Well, there's plenty of this fucking man killer over here. Like, come get it. Like, good lord.
Yeah, that was a change of pace. I mean, you knew that Rico wasn't good. Well, actually, you and I speculated that he would get jealous because he was fucking her, but apparently he's not gonna get jealous. He's just gonna...
I still feel like that's gonna happen.
You think so?
Yeah, because it just seems like a power dynamic.
Like,
right?
He's being replaced, and, right? He's going to see that as...
Yeah, and I don't think it's really going to boil down to the, oh, maybe now, like, he's banging her. But I think you're going to see that she's showing a little more attention to him. And Rico was cool with it at first because, like, yo, that's my girl. That's who she wants to bring in. Obviously, I like fucking around this way, too. So, win-win for everybody, right? But then it's going to be like, he's doing stuff within the Pachucos that is making him look good. And he's banging both of them, and it's kind of like, I was the man. Like, that. It's just, that is where that whole situation is going to fucking go. And especially now that, like, he got away from the cops.
Yeah, it's gonna bring his street cred way up for that group. Yeah, very true.
And especially with her backing him, like, his hype train is just going to keep accelerating through the roof. And I just don't see any way Rico being... in the power position he's kind of always been in to go, yeah, that's cool. Like, he's not an old man that's like passing on the throne. This dude's maybe
25.
5 years maybe. Older than him, yeah. Right? You know?
Very true. Also, and so then we pick up with Sister Molly and Tiago, like, right after they got done washing dishes, they headed to the seaside cabin and got their nasties on too.
Dirty dishes, dirty boy, dirty
woman. That's right,
got to
clean up. And then we get a story from her, a post-coital story about when she was a little girl and her mom when they were flat broke and they got caught up in a storm in Florida, a hurricane actually, and she chose while telling the story to end it with, you know, her mother hollering at the storm, that kind of thing. You know, she was calling her the dragon, and she, you know, that whole kind of thing. So she chose to end the story there and, you know, evoke the story she tells, which this brings me back for later on. This, I'm going to bring this up as well, is that I can't tell if her stories are real or not, number one, because her stories are all meant to invoke an emotion in whoever she's speaking to, whether it's singularly or if it is to a crowd. And half the time I can't tell where one ends and the other begins. So I don't know if this is even the whole story, if part of it's true, if none of it's true, if all of it's true, and she just picks and chooses where to stop the story. I have no clue. But it's just interesting what she told at the beginning. And then she also asked about his scar, which is cool. He tells it interestingly enough. I guess he's still not like, yeah, this chick who was holding my dying dad like punched me in the chest as I was running towards the fire, and that left a handprint. I mean, it's a handprint, dude. Like, you gotta, it's not just a scar, like you said. Like, it's a hand. You got touched by something that left a permanent thing on your body, boy.
Yeah, and it's not like the mark is some just weird, like, shape.
Right. It's not like Gorbachev's forehead.
It's literally a hand, like someone's gonna make a fucking turkey, you know?
Like, right. Trace your hand right
you
here.
You have to, like, after a certain point, you just kind of gotta go, I guess what I remember really fucking did happen. I don't know why. Like, you don't need to get into that, but his weird, like, it's a birthmark, or like, you know, just. Right.
We were in the field. There was a fire. I tried to save my father, and then I got this scar. Like,
yeah, I guess my dad's burnt hand touched me and left soot handprint on me for the rest of my life. Like, I don't know, right? Like, whatever's happening, dude, it's not right.
Yeah, just tell the story like you remember it, damn it. You're fine. Yeah, so after that, what happens? Then we see them picking up the Chicanos, maybe? Nope, that's not next. Pretty much next is when Molly's talking. There may be some stuff in the middle, but Molly is then talking to his sister back at the house, at her main, like, mansion or whatever. And you get that story she told, but you get, like, the aftermath, where the men stopped. I guess she ended the story with Tiago that some men stopped and picked and helped them out, you know, after her mother was fighting the tent and hammering in the, whatever. And then she tells the story where she's around a campfire with the men and they're passing around a booze bottle. And then she asks, where's my mom? And so I couldn't. Okay. So at this point, I'm not sure if they were insinuating that she was, her mother sold her, or if her mother was away with one of the other men thanking them for picking them up. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what she was. It wasn't made clear. You know what I mean? And I don't actually want to know, to be completely honest with you, especially if she's just made, if it's a true story, it's like, ugh, I don't want to hear about it. If it's a made up story, then it's like, that's a gross story to make up, dude. That's why I don't know what to trust with her stuff, because she definitely wasn't telling the story because she knew he was Tiago's sister. Like, that was the weird, that was the cool, like, revelation at the end. Like, when the sister started telling, you know, the sister told her story about Riley, and then she's like, yeah, well, my brother's a cop. And she's like, oh. And she's like, yeah, he's the first Chicano detective. And, like, Molly's like, oh. She's like, okay. And then, you know, I don't know what she put together with that. She's like, I don't know if she saw it as, like, a sign from God, or, but she had, like, this, like, revelation look in her face, like, on her face, like Molly did.
I mean, I feel like there's only one conclusion you could come to.
What?
Right there. Like, that's her fucking sister.
Oh, no. Really, yeah. Like, she figured that out. I'm not sure if she, she, of course she figured that part out. It's the, why were both these people put in my path? Like, it's a small world type thing. Like, how is this girl also in front of me right now? I feel like she's going to put some sort of higher spiritual thing to the fact that she came to her, and she's also, you know, Tiago's also been put in her path as well. I felt like that may be what she was, you know, that there's something going, that she's going to have some sort of religious revelation. But it's just weird that, once again, like in a lot of these episodes, the same story or parts of it are told by two different people in two unrelated times. She told Tiago part of it, but then she met up with his sister and then told the rest of the story, not knowing that he was, it wasn't like she connected him on purpose. That's all. I don't know. I never know anything. It's,
I think you really want something to happen with those fucking stories.
I absolutely fucking do. Every week I bring it up something like, about stories.
It's like you do. It has to be so maddening for you that just people reuse the same shit over and over when talking to different people.
See, you've made me cynical, which is why I don't think anything she says is true. I completely think she's just making this shit. She's just,
how did I make
because
it cynical?
You don't, because nothing in TV ever works out for you. So the fact that I want to connect all these dots really just means no, it's all just fake bullshit.
I think those stories are just more for the viewer to get more background information on each character. Mm-hmm. I don't really think they're actually part of the like hidden storyline, right? I just think you're getting pieces of it, and then they use another part of it later, so you get the ending of it, because they always talk about one half of it and then one half later. But most of the time, as they're talking about it, you're getting either like flashbacks or glimpses into what that person is feeling and expressing, and like what they're actually talking about behind, like, you know, you're like, ah, yeah, he's story, Nazis got it, blah blah blah. Her rape mom most likely either did a barter, like, I'll sleep with you if you don't hurt us kind of thing, right? Or like, not my daughter, which I suspect is probably the case. Or when she goes, where's my mom, it's the dudes have just taken her off, and like the other are watching, you know, keeping watch.
There's definitely going to be some mother daughter fallout by the end of this. There has to be. She's focusing a lot on that kind of stuff. So those two are going to be it. They're already at odds, and it's going to be worse as we go along. Let's talk about the councilman real quick, because his stuff's just real quick. You have the conversation about the tie you were talking about, and how he's standing in front of Magda's other, you know, whatever her name is. What's her character when she's with him? Alex, I guess. Because it's Elsa, Alex, and Rio. Yeah, so it's Alex, the frumpy-looking one. And he's talking with her, but he's, like, rhapsodizing about... Everything's just perfect in his life right now. He is on...
Look at you using...
You like that?
Because they used it in the episode.
Does it make you feel good? You like that when I do that shit? You're like, no, I don't.
No, I like it. I like it because you remembered it from the episode.
Did she say that?
Used it.
Yeah, I knew I didn't pull exactly out of my ass. You're right.
Yeah, that's why I was laughing. I was like, that's the exact word she fucking used.
So she tells him pretty much, don't ever fucking ask anybody about, don't ever bring anything up about your relationship to anyone ever. In fact, don't talk to me about it again either. Yeah, great. The Nazis henchmen you're with, good job. Like, you cannot talk to anybody about this. It will, she's like, what if that lady gets a hold of it? The one on the council. You know, what if she gets a hold of it? She will destroy you. And so he's like,
yeah, what if your dad finds out?
Right. So that was the first scene with him. And the second scene was where he was unbelievably agile for a large man. And he was soft shoeing that shit all to hell. I was like, I'm impressed, dude.
Dude, I'm not going to lie, man. I was like, I need something to do during quarantine, man. Maybe I'll fucking YouTube some tap dancing
soft
shit. Like, put on some Sinatra or whatever and just fucking get out there in the living room floor. And
why else would you have hard work?
There, I was like watching him fucking dance and just getting to the tunes, dude. I was like, damn, tap dancing just got a whole lot more fucking appealing.
Watching a big man do it makes you go, hey. I was like, I could do that.
Why can't this skinny beanpole fucking
right,
do
I was
it
like,
then?
How come my fat ass can't do it? That guy can do it. I can do it. So, yeah, that was cool. And then the henchman shows up, and he answers the door, like, with his, like, gruff face on. And it took him a minute to, like, let that wall down. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's, like, because you interrupted my music for a minute. And he's like, oh, wait, it's that guy. Or maybe he hasn't seen him since that interlude. And he's like, so where's this going? Are you going to shoot me? Or are we good? The guy's like, I brought Chinese, and then he was all happy, and they, you know, went in and had a nice evening, I guess. I don't know. They didn't show us anymore. But, you know, he seems...
Well, I think he just was like, who the fuck's at my door at this hour? And then it's him, but, I mean, you gotta have mixed feelings about that situation. He basically killed someone, kidnapped you, and then fucked you. but that's what you wanted. So it's like, you're in love. He's also a fucking murderous, doesn't think twice about it, man. Opening the door to that situation, I don't care. You could be dating that dude for like 5 years. For the first 5 years, that's how that interaction's going to go unless he lives there and just freely walks in. Because I'd be like, is this the day?
Is this when I die?
Chinese and sex? Yes! Death? No! Like, fuck!
Like, thank God. Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, like, I know the councilman is like, he loves this dude. Like, he definitely was like, oh, shit, man. Like, this feels great. I'm head over heels. Mm-hmm. It's most certainly a... I want to feel like this every day feeling, but he's not stupid.
No.
Like he's childlike and being,
well, he's
like spoiled and prissy kind of like, and like temperamental,
he's childlike,
but he's not dumb.
He's childlike. Like most men in the 30s and 40s were in general. Like it's just that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's that pompous attitude does paint a picture of a child.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he knows he was recorded and being blackmailed.
He definitely does not know that
in any way. Stretch or imagine, like, I don't even think that's in the ballpark, but I also know, like, he's not so dumb that he goes, this guy's safe. Like, you know, like, that's gonna happen because they're gonna keep seeing each other, and then probably by the end of this season, whatever their build up is, it's gonna be a, like, a do you trust me situation,
mm-hmm.
You know. It's either going to be like, I loved you, and he's like, you shouldn't have trusted me. I work for Nazis, kills him. Or it's going to be like, they were together, and fucking goddamn chisel chut fucking cut jawline dude is like, kind of like this pudgy little mare. He's my dude.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and then he's like, I can't hurt the Nazis,
he'll turn on
right?
The Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that will make it so they don't come to Cali and take over the world. Yeah, there you go. Man, this man love will save the world.
Man on man love saved everybody after all their racist, murderous bullshit that happened.
Exactly.
Before
it's all wiped away because it saved the world for the Nazis. Let's see. The last thing to talk about before we get to Tiago and Lewis is the final part with Dr. Kraft and Elsa, where she calls him while he's playing a rousing game of Sorry, which, by the way, was my childhood favorite game with my grandparents, like the old school version, because we bought like the new version of Sorry, and like having played a certain game for literally 15 years of my life and like knowing the rules, they've made the game like less of a nightmare, you know, because Sorry wasn't as bad as Monopoly, but Sorry could get real fucking long if you just like did pull the right thing. And so they've changed the rules, and now like Evie and I are playing tonight, and like half the cards don't do what they used to do in the old one, and they give you more things to do, and you can whip through a game in like 20 minutes. And I'm like, can I buy the classic somewhere, because I need the classic one, because that's what I remember as a kid. It's like, this is not right. You have to go out of start with a one or a two. You don't get to go out with whatever the fuck you draw just willy nilly. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's
yeah. You can just come out with whatever. You don't have to draw a one or a two. I remember as a kid, for like 15 rounds straight, never drawing a one or a two, and just being like, "I don't know what else to do. I can't do anything. This is so much fun, Grandpa. Thanks, man."
Right, or like trouble, like having to hit the last number with the goddamn dice to put your fucking pin in.
You had to draw like, the right number.
Five. Four, five. I just want a three. One, two. Give me a three.
There's not a three on this dice.
Yes.
Yeah, the same thing with Sorry. You had to draw the right number to get you to home.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's the rules now, but that's how we play in this house, God damn it. Like, we, you draw that right number or you don't go in there. Oh, shit. Anyways, so they're playing. The phone rings. It looks like they're kind of having like a decent evening, like it's maybe been a few or maybe a week or two since the birthday party or something, where like he hasn't dealt with Elsa, and like the wife is like, she looks like she's not drunk for some time, and then the phone rings and he has to go get it, and you know, she makes it when he knows who it is, he come, you know, she's like, you have to come help me. And he goes to leave and, you know, lies, it's the hospital. She goes, no, that's why you have office hours. If you're on office hours, they'll call you if there's an emergency. This is not the hospital. He's like, it's the hospital. It's like, okay, bud, you got to work on this, man, because you are no good at this at all.
and the worst part is like, he's so awkward for me to watch. Like, it's so bad. It's just, I've sat through it, man. Like, I don't watch him bang because I'm not going to lie, man. Like, if I'm going to watch sex happen, I want it to be attractive people, and I do not find him attractive. Like, in the original Penny Dreadful, to me, he was a dope Frankenstein. So I don't want to see Frankenstein naked. Like, that's where I'm going with this.
Right. I definitely don't want to see you bang on top of a grave you just dug and buried a dude in. That was the best part. I'm like, okay, so you just buried the guy. Okay, cool. You're gonna fuck on top of the grave. Okay. All right. She's gonna believe you were at the hospital. Like, as soon as he put the shovel down, I'm like, there is no way you're selling the fact you were at the hospital, dude. Like, I don't care who you are or how drunk she is. You, sir, are going to smell like the ass end of a horse because you've been digging fucking graves for the past 2 hours. Like, there's no fucking way
you're going to get this. And then you just went and had fucking hot, sweaty sex on top of it. Like, you are going to have a very distinct odor, my man. Like, one that is not mistakable by anyone that has experienced any of those situations.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's lawn care.
Yep. I can smell dirt,
force,
leaves, body.
Oh,
I know what that is.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now you have to tell me how those two came together, because I have no clue. At which point does lawn care and body fluids come together? That's just odd.
Walking into your child's room and there's just a hint of latex in the air and you're like, ah, god damn it.
How many more years? Don't make me more years till you're out of the house.
Hey, thanks for being smart about it though. I'm on that point. Just wish you weren't.
At least it smells like that and not like just all right, moving on.
Sorry to all the parents that have not had that thought process pop into their head yet, but that's probably gonna happen.
I haven't yet. That's just the way it is as parents.
Yeah, right.
You're only parents because of that. A lot of you are parents because of that.
Yeah, to all the ones that went out of their way and adopted special ones, you still know what it's like. You had to have had sex before.
Gotta worry about.
Well, I guess not. Maybe. I mean, you could be. You could be two grown adult virgins, and we're like, we're gonna adopt a child.
Quit making me have parts of this. I have to edit.
Oh man, I wonder what the percentage of thought process is now that I've gone down that rabbit hole. Like, now I'm wanting informational facts. I'm like, I know you don't ask, but can you tell me? You ever had two virgins that are like 45 come up in here and like, I want to adopt a baby? Like, does that not raise immediate red flags? Or were you guys like,
I hear they come from storks.
I like how we act like virgins, even if they were 40, are somehow uneducated to sex. Like, I feel like they have to be at that age, like, super educated on sex, because everybody, just like you and I did, was like, You what? It's like this, dude. You put it in here and it feels, I don't know, the best. Like, what?
Oh, man. Okay. Last people to talk about, Tiago and Lewis and their investigation of Riley's death. Well, I mean, poor Tiago, he's showing up from his hookup out on the water, and you know, as the cops are rounding everybody in his area up, like right around his apartment or whatever. And Lewis is just like, where the fuck have you been? Like, the guy who threatened to kill him yesterday to his face is gone for 24 hours and the dude's dead. Like, please tell me I don't have to worry. You know, he made him like tell him in his face, like, I did not kill Riley. He was a douchebag. Yeah. We all know that. But I didn't kill him. She's like, where were you? It's personal. What's her name? That's great. Dude, yeah, Nathan Lane is just, I relish every time he pops on this show. Like, just killing
it. You're either going to say something so insanely witty that you're just like, God damn. Or you're going to do something so heartfelt that you're like, God damn.
Mm-hmm. God damn it, I wiped my tear from my eye because you're such an amazing guy. So they go and, let's see, where do they go after that? Do they go to his mom? No, they go
he talks to, they're looking for...
the hooker, yeah, they, don't they? Yeah, yep. They talk to the hooker first, who was with Riley. And she describes Rio, she describes Rico, and then she describes two new guys, one guy with a band-aid. Put the pieces together, like, you see Tiago, like,
yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, and Lewis is not, you know, for being the guy who's like, for being the standard, you know, cop who's like, I'm 1 week from retirement, he's almost like that old. He's still, like, on his game, though, so, like, he already sees it.
Tiago, yeah, I like how they make him not... reacted. Like, we know he's the veteran cop, right? But he's not the Danny Glover veteran cop. Like, the guy, yeah, like, the guy that's, like...
he's not the I'm 1 week from retirement.
I don't even really care anymore. Like, just let this time wind out, and we're good. Like, he's still like, nah, man, work this. Oh, by the way, in my spare time, I go cop Nazis. Like, that's what I do. Like, 24 hours. Nazis. Cop duty. All it is. Like, this man is, if he stopped, he would die. Like, that's him in this show. And it's not this weird, like,
yeah,
drunk detective, you know, like, bags under his eyes. Like, the man goes home and sleeps and, like, does his shit and everything. But if he wasn't being a police officer, this character, he wouldn't be alive. Like, shortly after his retirement, he's gonna go, did enough, I'm fucking out.
Right. He's a great white man. He's gotta keep moving. Gotta keep moving forward.
That's the old military right there. That was my mom was always super terrified. So my dad's, like, military retirement came around. She was like, you better have a fucking job. She's like, you're not, like, retiring and then dying because you don't know what to fucking do.
Right. So they talk to her, they figure that out, and then they go and talk to somebody in Rico's, like, where, like, near where he lives. And then Tiago, like, he says some shit from, like, this era where it's like, I will deport you and I will freaking take you from your child and I will kick you out, drop you in the mess. I was like, is he a Trump supporter? Like, what the fuck? Like, that's, like, some shit really straight out of, like, right now. So
either
probably not. That's good. We haven't moved a lot of
adjustment on years. That red line.
Yeah, true. So he scares her enough to find out where Rico's holed up. Yeah,
so much so that they even show up there. Nathan Lane was like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah. he's like Jesus, Tiago. He's like, what the fuck are you saying? He's I don't even say that shit. Homie.
But I mean, it was one of those. I get why he was doing it, to, like, prove a point in all sides of, like, look, dude, I'm here as a cop. Fuck being a Chicano. Fuck you thinking I'm a Chicano and gonna take care of these people. Like, I'm just gonna go ahead and get the ugliest shit out the way, so everybody knows where I'm standing right now. Plus, I also think he is realizing that his brother is who they're about to run into, right? Like, so it you also weren't giving him information in a timely manner, given what he already thinks is going on.
true. Yeah. So getting the information from her sends them to his lookout, or not to the lookout, to the hideout where they're at, where they just got done banging, to be honest with you. And I love how the kid on the bike at 9 o'clock doesn't immediately ring as a lookout until the kid does that. Like, I love that they slowed it down because he's like, and the kid, like, gives, like, that, oh no, that he's like 5-0, and then they, like, take off. And then, like, on top of them not knowing that part or not figuring out until the kid takes off, then you have Tiago, like, attacking this kid in the fucking stairs and, like, rolling down flights of stairs. I was waiting for him to, like, to hear the Hollywood snap and have the kid be, like, dead because his neck broke on the fall. Like, I was like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
I did like when they showed him go down the stairs from, like, the bottom point of view, like, looking up, you know? Because when Tiago went down, like, you could see him take it to the back and keep that kid, like, up on his chest. Like, you could see his arm shift and was like, don't worry, bud. Make sure you don't roll over me. I don't crush you. Like, you're not. Because he ate every one of those fucking stairs on the way down carrying that kid, like, holding him up. there. And I was like, that's some solid
prop
stunt, man, work.
Guy.
Yeah, that's some solid stunt dude work there. Like, telling, like, I don't know how you reassure an 11-year-old kid right there. Like, hey, man, I'm going to yank the fuck out of you, and we're going down these stairs. Dude, you ready? I imagine some of the kids are like, fuck yeah, let's go. But most of the kids are like, you're going to do what? And then it happens. Like, that's just that. Right.
Yeah, I would actually like to see the filming of that scene and how they did that. Maybe they got a little tiny actor. That would be nice. So it wasn't a kid. It was probably somebody tiny. Like the actor that played that little dog guy on Vagrant Queen. He was like 4'9". They could use him. He'd be fine.
I don't know, man. Because even little people that are older, like, they look older. Right. Right? Like, it's not like they have an older looking frame. I, you know, just because they're... I don't see little people and go, oh, man, they all look like children.
You know, it's like, not what I was saying. Oh, my God. yeah, so he tackles the kid down the stairs a bunch, and they go to the room that, it is, you know, it's in. And then there's this whole... They kick the door in, and it's the whole slow motion, and it's Mateo's in there, and the other kid that got beat up and did part of the beating is in there, and he takes off, and... Lewis goes after him, and Tiago stays with his brother, and then they Enrico's out the window. Like, he's like the first one out the window, I think. Like, he was there, right? But like, he was gone like in no time.
And
he
had, yeah, it was like Rico and Tiago hit out window. the fire escape, and the others went down the hallway. But then Rio like did the old door lock. Fuck it, cut my loose ends. I'm out. But yeah, like wherever. Those two hit the ground at the bottom of that stairwell. Like, Rico was 4'3", 40-yard dash time. Like, his ass was gone because we don't see him anymore.
He disappears.
Like, just out. Yeah. Yeah.
And then so you get the chase between Tiago and Mateo. Mateo hits a fence, as always, and then confesses to his brother, you know, I killed him with these hands, and I'd do it again if he was standing right here, and you have Tiago's whole... back and forth. Oh, we didn't mention they went to see his mom, and then we forgot that part, the whole part with Raul.
Yeah, but that's all just like lead up as they're looking to this part right here. Like, and that was more, hey, don't come in here. This is family business. Just basically to try to protect his brother.
The mom takes him out to show him Santa Muerte.
Well, yeah, because he gets sent out there because the older brother's like, I'm not talking with this dude in the room. Sorry, he may be your partner, but it's not happening.
Right.
And then that's when she gives him some kind of totem that we probably now know is going to save his life.
Ricochet a bullet because it's in your pocket type thing.
I hope it's not that. Like, I just hope it's on him and it's one of those, like, this is when the behind the curtain gets pulled back, right? Like, I don't know, fucking Alex, Elsa, Magna, or Rio do something to him. Mm-hmm. And he has that. Like, in the car or on him still for, you know, whatever reason it's there.
Yeah, I think he had it on the dash when they were in the state.
Yeah, and then it's like that breaks, like, the whatever's there because then her sister now has to
call her
or
something.
Yeah, because it's her protection on him.
It is the black Santa Muerte, which is the one that is the protector.
Yeah, it is her protecting him.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's why I was like, ooh, I wonder... when one of these four women is going to go try to fuck with him and Big Sis has to get called down and intervene in this situation.
Yeah.
And that's when he's all like, oh, what the fuck? And then hopefully his partner's there and goes, hey, let me see that hand. Oh, shit, that matches. I knew I remembered
you.
And we get over that whole it didn't happen bullshit.
Right. Yeah, and that was, and then so then Tiago with his brother lets him run off. So the good cut. The only reason I brought up the mom part is because, you know, Lewis was talking to her saying, you know, you raised him good. He thanks me every day, you know, by being a good cop type thing, you know, but now he's like, you already see Tiago doing this. Like, I'm going to hide the fact that I think it's my brother. I'm going to hide, you know, when I finally catch him, I'm gonna let him go. Like, he's on this downward spiral from the exemplary cop he had to be to even get where he is right now. So
yeah.
we had that downward spiral doing both. And that's mostly episode. We didn't talk about the, quick little scene with the math kid and the old lady that's Lewis's friend. She is pretty much.
Yeah, but that's just more of.
I do love her on
the
screen.
The spies are being spied on, and the spies that are being spied on are being spied on. Like,
right, because what's his name? The henchman.
Everybody's watching. Yeah.
So that means maybe she's going to be targeting her next, which sucks because, like, when Lewis is on screen, I also love when that actress comes on screen. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's. I hate to use the word grandma, but the fact is she's of grandmother age.
Absolutely.
But dude, the way she rips off fucking one-liners and shit, like, you were just like, if she was your grandma, she would be the one you brought like your friends to and were like, "Hey, Tom bought these new shoes. What do you think?" And then just like let her go to fucking town, right? Like
yes, that is exactly what happened. So yeah, that's about it for the episode. This episode 5, is this 5? This is 5 of,
I hope so.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's moving things forward. This next episode coming up on Sunday should be a lot of the fallout from what was set up in this episode. So it could be a pretty fast paced, crazy episode. So I'm looking forward to it.
I think it'll be a little slower just because it'll probably be more unraveling.
Oh, that's going down. Yeah, that's going downhill quick.
Yeah, and then I think a lot of these pieces, like one of them will happen, right? Which I think will most likely probably be the mother and daughter and you're my right arm of good, that guy. Like, whatever that situation is, I think that's the one. If any of the pieces like come to a wedge, like that's the first one that's going to happen because Mama Bear is like already fucking whistling out the top, man. Like she's done.
Stupid little girl.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That right there, dude, when she started saying that and just like posted up, I was like, she's about to do something.
I got a train running by a bunch of guys after a hurricane and that's how you treat me? I hope that's what it was. I really hope she didn't sell her daughter out. That part grosses me out. So I hope she just like did all of them. The mother did. That's what's way more acceptable in my book than the other thing.
Yeah, but I like how you kind of paint it there. Like, just I got a train ran over. This is what it is. So was this train like her going like, yeah, this is fucking cool? Or was this four dudes just running a train on her and now she's like, oh, you just got a fucking train ran on me. How dare you? Like, that's a terrible, terrible fucking analogy to put that.
Oh, that's a good way to end it, though. That's fine. Thanks for listening all the way to the end of this episode, no matter what kind of a train wreck it was. No pun intended. Get it? Train wreck?
I'm God.
Thank you, everybody who's listening, and we will absolutely catch you next week.